let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Salvation has been brought down.
Amen.
God has done his part. Now it's up to us. All right. Salvation has been brought down. God has been so good to us. All right. Our God in heaven has given us another opportunity, another Lord's Day to be able to assemble once again with one another, that we might be able to continue to draw closer unto him, to consider one another, that we might be able to provoke one another unto love and to good works. And it's given us another opportunity also to examine our lives, to make sure that we are in the faith, that we are in right standings with the Lord our God. God is good, and he's good all the time. All right. Let us open our Bibles to 2 Peter. We'll be drawing from this morning here, 2 Peter. And we're going to read here 2 Peter and verse number 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. All right, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I think I heard enough amens. I think everybody almost there. All right. All right, here we go. Reading the word of the Lord here. It says here in verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. So the title of the lesson this morning is A Successful Life of a Servant of God. A Successful Life of a Servant of God. All right, and this here actually lesson is part 2 of a lesson that I had started. And the first lesson, based on the same title, A Successful Life of a Servant of God, I was drawn from Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, God had called Joshua to be the new leader of his people, the Israelites, in the place of Moses. All right? And God was speaking to Joshua, and he was telling Joshua on how he could be successful, how he would be successful. And I was looking at that passage and was drawn from that about what God was telling Joshua about how to be successful. All right? So, way God said to Joshua and how Joshua will be successful was that God was going to be with him. God was telling Joshua, you're going to be the new leader of my people, and you will be successful as you lead them into the land, the promised land. And God said, because I will be with you. So Joshua was going to be successful. One thing, God was going to be with him. All right, God had said that throughout the Bible, over servants, over and over again, I will be with you. And that was saying that he was going to be successful. But there was requirements for that. The requirements that God was telling Joshua that he was going to be successful was because I will be with you, but also you have to be brave and of good courage. All right? You have to be brave. You have to be also of good courage. All right? That's what God was telling him. And he told him, do not turn away from my word. Do not turn away from the book of the law, but to meditate on it day and night. He said, if you do that, then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. So concluding all that, what I was drawing from that was that God wanted Joshua to trust him. He's telling him, be brave, be of good courage. He's telling him to trust me. And then he's telling him, don't move away from my word. Stay with my word. That's telling him to obey me. So trust me and obey me. Then you will be successful. That's what God has always required of all of his servants. Going way back into the garden with Genesis, he's speaking to Adam and Eve. Gave them one thing to do not do, eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't disobey God. Trust him and obey him. This is what God always said to his servants here. So that's where I started off with this lesson here. If Joshua did those things, trusting and obeying God, then he would have a successful life as a servant of God. So now I'm continuing on with that thought as I looked here at the Apostle Peter here and what he was writing to these Christians here in the book here of 2 Peter about how they could be those who would have a successful life unto God as well. So Peter here, I'll give you a little background on what's going on here. Peter here, he's writing to those, he says here in verse number 1, of like precious faith. They have like precious faith with us. They were speaking of here us as if the apostles. They share in the same like precious faith because of the righteousness here of Jesus Christ. All right, let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And you just follow along there with me and you can see where I'm coming from here. All right. So here in chapter 3 here, verses 1 and 2, Peter says, this is my second epistle. So this is his second epistle, his second letter that he's writing to these Christians. He says, this is the second epistle, beloved. I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter says, I wrote both of these letters to stir up your mind in the way of remembrance. I want you to remember. I want you to remember what was the words here of the holy prophets and also the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ that was given to you by the apostles. I want you to remember the word of God. This is what Peter is telling them. Why? Go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1. And we're looking here at verses 12 through 15. Chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. Peter says here, wherefore I will not be neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So here we have Peter, says he does not neglect to cause these Christians to remember the things that they have already known, the things of the truth that they had already been taught here. And he says that they know them and they are established in these truths. He said, you know the word of God and you're doing well in the word of God. All right. And then he tells them, as long as he's in this tabernacle, he's speaking of his body, as long as he in this body, he will continue to stir them up in remembrance. Why? He says, verse 14, he says, surely I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord has showed me. What is Peter talking about? He's saying the Lord has told me that I don't have much time left here on life, in this side of life. He knows that he is going to die shortly. So what is he doing? He says here in verse 15, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in your remembrance. He wants them to remember the things that the apostles had shared with them, the things that they know of the holy prophets. They want them to remember the word of God. And he's endeavoring to let them know these things before he passes away. It's like almost your last words. All right, I'm passing away. This is what I want to put on your heart before I leave this earth. He wants you to remember the word of God. Why is Peter doing this? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. Peter says here, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So Peter is saying that there will be false teachers among you. I want you to remember the word of God, because there's going to be false teachers among you. Remember what the word of God has said. So what is Peter doing there overall? He's combating false teaching. All right. From chapter to verse number two, chapter two, all the way through 2 Peter, he's telling them about false teachers. All right. The false and their ways of the false teachers. So he's warning these Christians to pay attention to their lives so that they will not be led away by false teaching. You know, a great percentage of the New Testament is combating false teaching. All right. Much Jesus dealt with much false teaching. So this is what Peter is doing. Watch your lives so that you will not be led away by false teaching. And he's encouraging them too. How do you combat false teaching? He's teaching them that you need to grow. You need to grow in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ. You need to grow in your knowledge. You need to know the truth. You need to grow in that and also grow in the grace of God. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. Verse number 2. So this is what Peter had wrote to the Christians here in his first letter. He says here in his letter, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. What is Peter telling them? You need to desire the sincere milk of the word. He's giving them idea of something that all of us can relate to. He's giving us a newborn baby. When that baby want that milk, that baby going to let you know. I want that bottle. Man! That baby wants that bottle. And you're going to be paying attention. You might be watching TV, playing on your cell phone, whatever you're doing. When that baby starts to cry, they want that milk. And you're going to get that bottle for them. So what Peter is saying, that the same way that the child, a newborn baby, desires his milk, we should have that same desire when it comes to the word of God. We should have want God's word in our mind, in our heart. We should have that longing, that craving for God's word. That's what we should develop in our lives. And he's talking about a newborn baby here, desiring that word. But then also, Paul, you don't have to turn there, but Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and also the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 5, they talk about going from that milk, which is the beginning of God's word, his teaching of God's word, to moving on to strong meat, going into deeper things of God's word. So he's talking about a process of growing from infants to being those who are mature that can handle strong meat or more of what God's word, deeper things of God's word. So we know that God wants us to be able to grow, all right, grow from milk to meat, from babes to being mature. Jesus says, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So God wants us to grow. He wants us to mature, no longer just being those who are on milk, but those who grow to be on strong meat. We desire for our children to grow, all right? You have a baby and they're not growing, we get concerned about them, all right? God is concerned about those of his children who are not growing as well, and he wants us all to be able to grow, to be full-grown or mature Christians. So the question is, how do we grow from milk to meat, or how do we mature and grow as God desires for us to grow? All right, and I believe that's what Peter is showing us here. Back to 2 Peter in chapter number 1. So I believe that's what Peter is showing us here. So what he's showing us here in verses 3 through 11, Peter is showing us here which is known as the Christian graces, entitled as the Christian graces. He gives us a list of things to help us to be able to grow thereby. Verse 3 and 4, he's showing us what God has done for us. All right, that's what he's showing us. From 3 and 4, 5 through 8, he's showing us this is what we need to do. 9 is that which is in the negative if you're not doing these things. And 10 and 11 is showing you the success if you do these things. All right, so this is what Peter here is breaking down for us. So let's take a look here at verse number 3. Peter says here in verse number 3, according as his divine power has given unto us. So it's divine power. This is from God. God is the source of this gift that he's giving unto us. So this is from God, his gift that he's given. And he says, according as his divine power has given unto us some things that pertain unto life and godliness. Is that what that says? No, it says all things. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is what God is telling us here, all things. And it's telling us here about that everything that we need to know about how to live a godly life, it has already been given to these Christians. Everything they needed to live, to know how to live a godly life, it's already been given to them. Everything they need to know about how to worship God, it's already been given to them. Everything they need to know about how to live a righteous and holy life, it's already been revealed to them. Everything they need to know about what they need to do to be saved, it's already been given to them. Everything they need to know about how to live a godly life. You see there in verse number 3, it says, hath given. It's already been given. Already been given. So everything they need to know was given unto them. So where the point here also is, these Christians, they didn't need anything else. All right, remember who they're dealing with here, false teachers. You don't need anybody else coming along telling you that you have some new revelation from God, some new knowledge from God. God is already giving them everything they need that pertains unto life and godliness. The same for us. God has already given us everything we need for life and godliness right here in our hand, the Bible. That's it. All we need is the Word of God. No other additions, no other books, no other. Everything we need to live a life that's pleasing, acceptable to God, he's already revealed to it. Anybody come and telling you something that this is what God says, ask them for book, chapter, and verse, rightfully divided, and I'll see what you got to say. But anybody come with anything else, if they can't show you in the Bible, just leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and that's God's word. We need to prove it all, and we need to be those who will stick with God's word. His word has given us, he has given us everything we need through his word there. And then we see here, how is it given? He tells us here, according as the divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. It is through the knowledge. All Christianity is based on knowledge, God's revealed word. It's through the knowledge of him. Verse number 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. All right? Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right, so we see there also in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. So it's all based on the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is here. It's all about knowledge. Throughout Peter, your key word here is knowledge. You need to know. 1 Peter is about hope, it's suffering, persecution. And now here in chapter 2 Peter is telling us about knowledge. You need to know what God has said in his word. And in verse number 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God has given us exceeding great. How do you say something is greater than great? Exceeding great and precious promise. All the promises that God has given unto us, they're precious promises. And one of these promises, he tells us that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature. You might be partakers. That means we can share in God's divine nature. What does that mean? We become gods, little gods? No. He's telling us that we will, the more we grow spiritually, we will be like God. All right, more in godly character. All right, the more we put on what he's to tell us about to put on or add to our faith, he's telling you're going to be more in God's character. You're going to be more in holiness and righteousness. And that's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, for it is written, I am holy, you be holy. All right, so God said, I'm holy, you be holy. You be separated from the world. You be separated and be those who are to be used for God's purpose. All right, so he's talking about that. As the more we put on the graces of God, the more we become like God in his holy character. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. It's something here that most of us is pretty familiar of. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. And it reads, "And that ye put on the new man." So you see, about putting on the divine nature, it's about putting on the new man. "That you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness." So you're putting on the divine nature, not that you're going to become God, but you're going to be more like God in your holy character, in righteousness and holiness. So this is putting on the divine nature. And by putting on that divine nature, you will escape the corruption that is through the world, through lust. All right, it's your own lust going after the things of the world. All right, we put on this divine nature, the more we're putting this on, the more we're escaping that corruption that is in the world. It all starts with you already being a Christian. All right, you've been baptized, you're a Christian, and now you are escaping the corruption here of this world by continuing to put on the divine nature of God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. It's telling us basically the same thing here, wording here. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. Now, this is in the context of false teachers here. So 2 Peter 2 and 20, he says, "For if after they," false teachers, "have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein and overcome, and the later end is worse with them than the beginning." So these are false teachers. These were as Christians, but they have been going the wrong way. And he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution through the world," how? "Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ." So they escaped the pollution of the world because of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But they have gone the wrong way. All right, so let's take a look there back at 2 Peter chapter 1. And now we looked at what God has done for us. Let's look at what God has required of us now. All right. So verse number 5. He says, "And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." He says, and besides this, give all diligence. All right. Make haste. All right. Earnestness. All right. Your translation might say, make every effort. All right. Telling you, work hard. Give all diligence that he wants you to add these things to your life. Continue to supply these things to your life. Give all diligence. We're talking about our soul, brothers and sisters. We're talking about our soul. We need to give all that we can to these things that God is about to share with us, what Peter is about to share with here. So he tells us here, besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith. So he's telling you, add. The word add, it also in translations says supply. All right, supply. All right, supply is meaning bringing alongside what God has already done for us. So we are to supply or add, and he says, to your faith. All right, you've obeyed the gospel, you're a Christian. You have faith. You have the faith that God wants you to. All right. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you have faith. So now you have something to build upon. This is what adding to, supplying, building upon your faith. All right. What do you build upon your faith? He says virtue. Virtue. What is virtue? Virtue means goodness or moral excellence. All right. It's also speaking of manliness. So it's talking about courage. You have to have the courage to do the right thing. I have a courage and desire to do that which God has called me to do. That's talking about growth. It don't happen overnight. It takes a whole lot of us to get to that point sometimes. It's talking about growth. This is what God wants us here to grow in courage and also desiring to do that which is right. So now I have that virtue or growing in that virtue. And then he tells me to add to virtue what? Knowledge. I have a desire and a courage to do right. But how do I do that? How do I know how to do what is right by God? You have to grow in your knowledge of God's word. That means we have to study our Bibles. We have to be reading, studying our Bible, studying to show yourself approved unto God. Study. You need to come to Bible class. Be here in Bible class. Be here in worship. Study. Go home. Take the things that I'm telling you and showing you. Go home and study these things. Make sure Brother Young is telling you what the Bible has said. If not, you need to be having a talk with Brother Young. Make sure that what's going on, what I'm saying is what God is saying, all right? Speaking as the oracles of God. Take it home, study it for yourself. It'll help you to be able to grow more and more about what God has said. So we have to grow in the knowledge of God's word there. It's so important there about knowledge. It's like I said, it's the key word here is knowledge in God's word there. Then he tells us, what else do we need to do? We have knowledge here. Then he says, to knowledge what? Temperance. What's temperance? Self-control. Ooh, that's a big one. I have some control on myself. Thoughts. Sometimes the wrong thoughts pop in my head. Lord, forgive me. I thought the wrong thing. All right. Your words. Ooh, that's a big one. That's a big one. James talks about that one, controlling the tongue. That's a big one. And then your actions. All right. We got to have some control of our lives. The things we think, the things that we say, and the things that we do. Having control of our very life. That's adding to, building upon there of your temperance in your life. Can you see how these things here are adding upon or building upon? You got one thing that leads to another, and you continue to grow in those things. All right, you want to continue to grow and build on those things there in our lives. Mm-hmm. And also, it shows us here that we are to work on these things all together. All right, you're working on these things all together. You're not just working on one thing at one time. You're just working on all of them at the same time to add these things in our life. I just can't get the knowledge and say, once I got knowledge down, then I'll move on. I need to be working on all these things. Because I could be looking at knowledge and trying to grow in the knowledge. I'm 200 years old. Our God's word is so rich. All right, so God is showing us that we are not just to work on one of these things, but working on all these things to be able to add them and put them into our lives. Showing us that we are constantly growing in all of these things here in God's word. All right, so point here is that we never stop growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I got it down. I got it now. I read the Bible down. I got it. I can move on. It's not. This is the word of God. Living word of God is continue to be studied and to grow out of. It's not Moby Dick. It's not Harry Potter. Just reading it and I'm done. No, we continue to look into God's word as his instruction, as his guidance that we might be able to grow thereby. All right, then he says you add to your temperance, to your life, and then he says also patience. All right, patience. What is patience? That means you persevere. All right, you endure. All right, that means you never give up. That means steadfastness, holding power, going through the trials that you're going through. I'm not turning away from the Lord. I'm building that. I'm putting that in my life, adding that to my life. Then he says to patience, godliness. All right, what is godliness? Godliness is piety and deep reverence to God and the holy things of God, having that deep piety and devotion unto God. So we want to continue to add these things as temperance, patience, and to godliness. And then what else? Verse number 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. What does that mean? Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. That's a big one. Ooh, that's a big one. Ooh, that's a big one right there. Oh, brotherly, that means loving your brothers. I need to love my brother. I got to love Brother Montgomery. Even when he rubbed me the wrong way, what? I got to love him. I still got to love him. That's what the Bible tells Ephesians chapter 4, forbearing with one another. We still got to love each other, brothers and sisters. Peter talks about loving each other over and over and over through his letters. He says in his letter, let me see here, he speaks about brotherly kindness, love for the brethren. He says also to love the brethren, all right? He says to love the brotherhood, 1 Peter 4:8. He says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. 1 Peter chapter 1:22, he says, seeing that you have purified your soul and obeying the truth through the spirit of unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Peter speaks over and over and over about the love that we should have for one another. All right, he says, you obey the gospel. And he said, this is what you have obeyed the gospel unto, to love one another, to love your brothers and sisters. Jesus told us that we are to love one another. He says, love one another fervently, too. You know, this word fervently is the same word he used there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. Often we're talking about burning up the earth, the world. All right, showing how passionate we should love one another. All right, this is what Peter here is speaking of here, is loving one another. So he tells us here, brotherly kindness, verse 7, and brotherly kindness to what? Charity, to love. All right. Last but not least, talking about love. All right. What is this love? This is agape love. This is the love for God. It's the love for one another. It's the love that should even grow to those of the world and even loving your enemies. Oh, that big one right there. That one's real hard. Loving your enemies. But this is where he's talking about growing in love. Growing in love as we should grow. And showing us that it's love that ties all of this together. It's God's love, the love that he wants for us and that he requires of us for himself and for each other and for all men. That ties all of this together. This is how we should grow. Then he tells us here, verse number 8, for if these things be in you, if these things, conditional, all right, if these things be in you and abound, all right, so he's telling you need to abound, not just have these in you, all right, these graces in you, but also abound in them, increase in them, continue in the work of the Lord, continue to grow in these things. If you have these in you, all right, and abound, that they make you that you shall never be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. All right, so you want to abound in these things, and if you abound in these things, you'll always be fruitful for the Lord. All right, you'll always be those who will be doing good things and good works for the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says. You'll always be that which is fruitful. Remember Jesus himself talking about in John chapter 15, he is the vine, the true vine. We are the branches. We need to abide in him, and we will bear fruit for him. But if we don't, Jesus talks about cutting them off, pruning them off here. Then we see in verse number 9 is in the negative. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Speaks about the negative here. All right? Says, if you're not, you lack these things, you're not adding these Christian graces into your life. Says, if you lack these things, it's like you're blind and you cannot see afar off. Some of your translations may say nearsighted. That's like I'm so nearsighted, I had to have my lesson up to here or my Bible. So it's almost telling me that I'm almost to the point of being blind and is blind here. The point that I have forgotten that I've been purged from my old sins. Forgotten what God has done for me. So it's showing us either we're growing or we're dying. All right? Showing us we have to grow in the grace of the Lord. You've got to keep, you can't just be sitting idle. You've got to be those working on growing in the grace of the Lord. All right? And it says here that they have forgotten that it was purged from their old sins. They've forgotten what the Lord has done for them. They've forgotten that they were once in sin and God cleansed them up. And Jesus died on the cross and shed his precious blood for them. They forgot about that because they were not adding these things in their lives. They forgot about what the Lord has done for them. Verse number 10 here, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Isn't that what he started with? Give diligence. He continued to let you know, make every effort, work hard to make your calling and your election sure. Make your calling and your election sure. All right, God has called you by the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. You are the elect. You have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now you are to walk worthy of that calling. In doing so, adding these graces in your life, you're making sure that you make your calling and election sure. And he tells us, for if, conditional again, for if you do these things, what will happen? You shall never fall. That's the successful life of a servant of God. If you do these things and grow in these graces, God is saying you will never fall. All right, not saying you won't stumble and sin, but if you do, you ask God to forgive you, and you keep moving on. You repent, ask God to forgive you, and you keep on moving on. So you shall never fall. It means you'll never fall from the salvation that God has given you. In verse number 11, he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, the entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. If we add these graces in our lives, continue to abound and grow in these graces here of God, he says that God is going to minister you or supply you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. That's a triumphant entry. All right? That's what God is saying. It is triumphant victory. Brother Dante Young, you've done it! The trumpets is blowing. I don't know what else. What we got? The rose petals is on the ground. God is saying, you welcome you into heaven. You have continued to grow in these graces here of God. And God is going to give you entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of his Son, because we continue to grow in these graces here that God has called us to grow in. All right, so showing us the confidence here that we'd have of entering into heaven, being successful here. All right, let's see here. Let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's take a look at verses 17 and 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Here's the last words of Peter here in this letter here. He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Peter says, you know these things. Beware that you do not fall away from your steadfastness. All right? You already know that there is false teaching that's going to be all around you. Beware that you do not fall away and be those who will fall away in error. And he tells us, verse 18, what do you need to do? Two things. One, grow in the grace of God. That's in the favor of God. All right? And he tells you also, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two things we need to do. Grow in grace, God's favor, and his knowledge. We grow in the knowledge of God's word, continue to study God's word, and put those things into practice that we might grow in God's grace, his favor here of his Son. And to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So you see what Peter is doing to these Christians? He's warning them and encouraging them to grow. All right, grow. You're doing well in what you're doing, but grow. All right, don't be led astray. Don't let anybody cause you to be led away in error. Stick with the word of God. Continue to put into practice the things that God has said in his word that you might grow thereby. And then God will give you that triumphant entry abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we all should desire and all should want in our lives as being servants of God. So this here is to be a successful, have a successful life of a servant of God. We need to continue to grow in knowledge and grace of God. Putting these things in practice in our lives. Continue to study God's word, all right? Continue to come to Bible class, worship, continue to fellowship with one another, continue to pray to God, and have a constant examination of our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1 and those verses, the graces there, you probably need to take that out, put it on your refrigerator, look at it when you go get your milk in the morning or whatever it is, and look at it and say, Lord, how am I doing with these areas in my life? How am I doing here with these areas in my life? What do I really need to focus on, to work on, that I might be a better servant for you? This is what God is asking us to constantly examine ourselves. If we do this, God gives us a guarantee. He tells us we will be successful. We will never fall away. God says we'll never fall away, and he will give us an entrance into his everlasting kingdom here. All right. So how do we begin to be a servant of the Lord? We hear God's word, or we believe God's word. We repent of our sins. All right. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we are to be baptized. And that is for the forgiveness of your sins. You do that, God will give us his Holy Spirit, and he will add us to his church. And what was required of us after that is to remain faithful until death, until the Lord calls us home. So this is my lesson for us today as a successful life of a servant of God. I hope that it has touched you in some way, and I encourage you to continue to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here that has anything that they need to bring before the congregation to let us know, you can do so after we stand now and sing the invitation song.